The number of stars in heaven is known to the Lord, so the number of the angels of heaven and the number of their sorts are known to him, as the number of the grain so of the sand of the sea, and all the creatures of the whole earth with their organs and component part, both great and infinitely small, are known to him, as the number of atoms of all elements, small into infinity, is known to him, so the number of the whole human race, which was, which is, and which shall be, is known to him, as well as the number of all the thoughts of those who were, who are, and who will be, and the number of the movements of their hearts, of their words and deeds. As in material nature nothing is concealed from him, not the smallest atom is lost. For how can that which was created by God be destroyed without him, without his will? So likewise, in spiritual nature, not a single thought, not a single idea, not a single movement of the heart, desire, or deed are lost for him. All are counted up in their treasuries, in their right number and measure, that is, in the quantity, degree, and power that they were really were, excepting the evil thoughts, desires, words, and acts confessed or expiated by amendment of life. The number of all the atoms of the earth and all the atoms of the earthly creatures, as well as the number of thoughts and movements of the human spirit, are in this respect completely parallel. Indeed, if that which is created, subordinate, and death is not destroyed of itself, then how can that be destroyed which was itself received from God the capability of creating, and which is dominating living? I mean, thought closing itself in words, and the very author of thought, the soul. And thus, as this is impossible, prepare yourself, mortals, to answer at the judgment for all your thoughts, desires, words, for all your deeds, good and evil, which await you there, and which were sent there beforehand by you from earth, the good and the evil, unconfessed or not expiated by opposite thoughts, desires, and deeds. For all these God will bring you to judgment. Most merciful Lord, enter not into judgment with thy servants. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? As the greatest luminary is reflected in infinitely small earthly bodies, in their innumerable multitudes, and man's image is reflected in the small pupils of the eye, so the spiritual Son, Christ, is represented in small beings, in men, in their infinite multitudes, also in the smallest particles of his body and blood, because the first life, eternal, is most simply and individual, as the sun being reflected in a multitude of great and small bodies lights the whole world, covering it all. So it is with the Lord, the one same wind, but in an innumerable multitude of places creates diverse powers, so the one same Spirit of God, but in innumerable assemblies of angels manifests his power and strength, and in all holy men blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. The Lord keeps not only all the bones, but also the image of the saints, not allowing them to perish through corruption, through carelessness and neglect, but miraculously recovering them, as we know from description of the appearance of the thaumaturgical icons, especially of that of the most pure Mother of God, Our Lady. So dear to God is the image of man, especially that of a holy man as a vessel of grace. Through such images, he works miracles and bestows invisible powers of healing and consolation. God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Through our spiritual vision, we see and know the smallest movements of the heart, all our thoughts, desires, and intentions in general, almost everything that is in our soul. But God is greater than our heart. He is within us and around us, and everywhere in every place is the single all-seeing spiritual eye of which our own spiritual vision is but a small specimen, and therefore he knows all that is in us 1,000 times better and more clearly than we ourselves. At the same time, he knows everything that is in every man, in every angel, and in all the heavenly powers, in every animate and inanimate creature, sees as upon the palm of his hand all that is within us and every creature, being inherent in each one of them and maintaining each one of them in its existence and functions as the all-provident creator, as in Jesus Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So like when in the living, life-giving sacrament of his body and blood, in the smallest human body dwells all the fullness of the infinite, uncontainable Godhead, and in the small lamb or bread, in each smallest particle, dwelleth all divine fullness. Glory to thine omnipresence, omnipotence, and goodness, O Lord. As the sun, though it is itself always in the heavens, but by its rays, as if by innumerable hands, reaches the earth and its entire surface, and communicates itself to all organic bodies, entering into them. The sun enters into bodies by its rays, warming them, giving them life and growth through its warmth, passing through transparent ones or reflecting in them by its whole circle, where there are as many images of the sun as there are transparent bodies, and warming the opaque, solid, and inorganic bodies, so the spiritual Son God, although himself preeminently in the heavens, but by his life-giving spirit, as though by his rays, communicates himself to all reasonable creatures, angels and men, penetrating into their spiritual being, sanctifying them, giving them life, strength, and growth, in the same manner as the rays of the sun penetrate into organic and vegetable bodies, giving them life and growth. As the sun, though it is itself in the heavens, lights the whole earth, communicating life to every creature and thing, however insignificant, so likewise the Lord, by the light of the Trinity, enlightens all men, for he is the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. All you who draw near to serve God in prayer, learn to be like him, meek, humble, and true of heart. Do not let there be any deceitfulness or duplicity or coldness in your soul. Strive to have his spirit, for if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Lord seeks in us that which is like akin to himself, unto which his grace may be grafted. Remember that not a single word is lost during prayer. If you say it from your heart, God hears each word and weighs it in a balance. Sometimes it seems to us that our words only strike the air in vain and sound as the voice of one crying in the wilderness. No, no, it is not so. We must remember that God understands us when we pray, that is, our words, just as those who pray perfectly understand the words themselves. For man is God's image. The Lord responds to every desire of the heart, expressed in the words or unexpressed. In communicating with undoubted faith of the life-giving sacrament, I am instructed in a sensible manner of the omnipresence of Christ. In what manner? Because in every particle of the body and each drop of the blood I receive Christ wholly, and thus through my spiritual vision I see that he is at the same time holy in all the particles and drops, whatever their number may be, into infinity. Exactly in the same manner, the Lord is holy in every temple, and as Orthodox temples are to be found upon the whole earth, so the Lord is present upon the whole earth, not only through his Godhead, but both in his body and soul, everywhere, holy and invisibly communicating himself to believers and bringing forth sweet fruit in them, the purifying of sins, the sanctification of Christian soul and bodies, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, uniting all to himself as to the Father and the Holy Ghost. We also know that through fervent prayer, he enters into the souls of believers with the Father and the Holy Ghost. Being inherent in the whole material world and vivifying the whole of it together, in each part of it separately, the Lord is still more inherent in men, and especially in Christians, and lives in them. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? The human race is one great tree of God, spreading and growing over the whole earth and covering the whole earth with its branches. To the original rotten root, fallen Adam, God, in his great wisdom and mercy, has grafted a new living root, the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom Christians derive their origin as a shoot from the old tree. In trees, there is organic earthly life. In Christian race, the life of Christ, heavenly spiritual. And we must look upon these spiritual capabilities and powers of true Christians as upon the powers of Jesus Christ himself. We have the mind of Christ, said the apostle of true Christians. We must also look upon good works as upon the fruits of the grace of God, of Christ. Christians leading an unchristian-like life are the dry branches on the shoots coming from the root, Christ. And very branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away and cast them into the fire. Heathens are the unregenerate innominate shoot coming from the rotten root, Adam. By faith, they also may be grafted on to the living, healthy shoot of the body of the church, that is, to the body of Christ. Whose are the leaves of the tree? They are God's. Whose are the good thoughts in you? They are God's. Whose is the capacity in the trees to grow and form their tissues and to produce and develop leaves and fruit? It is God's, that is, given by God. Those in your capacity of thought and words, Whose is your capacity of thought and word? It is God's. Do the trees wrongfully use the power given to them by God? No. Do men wrongfully use the capacities and powers bestowed upon them by God? They do. They misuse them through their intellect received from God for the purpose of knowing God and His truth. They misuse them through their heart created for the purpose of loving God and their neighbors, of experiencing the blessedness of communion with God. And they misuse them through free will given to them for the purpose of endless improvement in virtue. God works in our body, in its natural function, supporting it, feeding it, and rearing it. He also acts in the grass, or in the trees, or in the animals, clothing the grass, rearing the tree, and adorning it with leaves and fruit, feeding the animals, and rearing their bodies. Ourselves, we cannot do or create anything in our body, not one jot, as it is said, thou cannot make one hair white or black. God is equally in the infinitely great and in the infinitely small, not being limited either by the one or the other, but is wholly present in everything, being indivisible and above all. Could the leaves exist without the tree? And could the tree exist itself without earth, air, water, and warmth? Likewise, no soul can exist without God, without His Son, without His Spirit. God is my being, my breath, my light, my strength, my drink, my food. He carries me as a mother carries her infant in her arms. More than this, carrying me, my soul and body, He dwells in me and is united to me. When praying to God, remember that God is three persons, and as He is a person and persons, He possesses in infinity all these perfections which we can imagine in any most perfect man. By the grace of God, as for instance, in the most pure Virgin Mary, in St. Nicholas the Wonder Worker, in St. John Chrysostom, in the Apostles' Prophets. Filled with the Spirit of God, man is God's image and likeness of God. From a perfect image, we can partly judge what the prototype is. All that is best, that attracts our spiritual gaze and inclinations of our heart in man is from God, from His Son, and from His Spirit. For instance, St. Nicholas was and still is compassionate and merciful to men by the grace of God. He always was and still is ready to hear those who call upon Him sincerely through the same merciful heart which He had during His lifetime and which He still possesses by the grace of God. Now, is not the Lord Himself compassionate and merciful, and much more compassionate and merciful, infinitely more, as He Himself is infinitely greater than St. Nicholas? Or let us take the Apostle Paul. What vows of compassion there was in the Apostle, writing of the servant of Philemon. He said to his master, therefore receive him, that is my own vows. How much love is contained in these words, and what love all his epistles breathe. Our heart is enlarged, wrote he to the Corinthians. Ye are not straitened in us. He has also described in one of his epistles in what divine love consists. In reading this description, one feels that the Apostle himself had indeed fulfilled all that he wrote concerning love. But whence come this love in the Apostle who had previously persecuted and grieved Christ, and who, entering the house of his disciples, dragged them out, men and women, bound them and shut up many mercilessly in prison? From the Lord, the source of love, He alone is eternal, boundless love, embracing all creatures. As the Holy Trinity, our God is one being, although three persons, so likewise we ourselves must be one. As our God is invisible, we also must be in. As God is indivisible, we also must be indivisible, as though we were one man, one mind, one will, one heart, one goodness, without the smallest admixture of malice. In a word, one pure love, as God is love, that they may be one, even as we are one. O men, as well as angels of God, are the breaths of God. This is why the angels are called spirits, or, which is the same, the breath of God, whilst the spirits of men are called souls, because they possessed, they proceeded from the divine breath, the breath and breathes through God. In the first antiphon it is said, every soul is quickened by the Holy Ghost, and by his purity is elevated. But all other creatures are also called breath, that everything that has breath praise the Lord, because they also proceed from the Spirit of God, although they are not endowed with the reason and freedom. Therefore we must care for every creature, and neither beat nor overwork it. Blessed is the man who is merciful to his beast. God in a spirit and is a spirit, an incomplex being. And in what manner does the spirit manifest itself? By thought, word, and deed. Therefore God, as an incomplex being, is not composed of the serial or of the multitude of thoughts or of the multitude of words or creations, but he is holy, a one incomplex thought, God, the Trinity, or in one incomplex word, the Trinity, or in three persons united together in one. But he also is holy in everything, that exists, penetrating and filling everything with himself. For instance, when you say a prayer, he is in every word of it, and like a holy fire penetrates each word, everyone may experience this for himself if he will pray sincerely, fervently, with faith and love. But especially, he is holy in the names belonging to him, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Trinity, or the Lord God of Sabaoth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Holy Spirit, the Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, and in his other names. The angels and the saints are also near to us in their names, as their names and our faith in them are near to our heart, for they are nothing else but the breath of God, and are one spirit with the Lord. Do the saints whom we call upon pray for us? They certainly pray for us. If I, a sinful man, a cold-hearted, sometimes wicked and malevolently disposed man praying for others who have instructed or have not instructed me to pray for them, and do not doubt, do not weary of saying their names during prayer, although sometimes not heartily, then will not God's saints, whose lamps and torches burning in God and before God, full of love to their earthly brethren, pray for me and for us when we call upon them with faith, hope, and love according to our strength. They, our speedy helpers, pray also for our souls, as our divinely enlightened Mother, the Holy Church, assures us. Pray, therefore, undoubtedly to God's saints, asking their intercession before God in your behalf. They hear you in the Holy Ghost. Also pray in the Holy Ghost from your soul, for when you thus sincerely pray, then the Holy Ghost breathes in you, who is the Spirit of truth and sincerity, and is our truth and sincerity. The one same Holy Ghost is in us and in the saints. the saints are holy through the Holy Ghost, who sanctifies them and eternally dwells in them. Lord, those love to us been infinitely surpasses the love of every father and every mother, of the tenderest wife, have mercy on us. Holy Virgin, Our Lady, Thou who love to Christian surpasses the love of every earthly mother and every wife, hear our prayers and save us. May we constantly remember Thee. May we always pray fervently to Thee. May we ever undoubtedly and unfailingly take refuge beneath Thy holy protection. We pray to the O merciful and most pure Mother of God, and she prays for us. We glorify her, who is above all glory, and she prepares eternal glory for us. We often say to her, Rejoice, and she asks her Son and God, My beloved Son, give them everlasting joy in return for greeting me with joy. Believe as undoubtedly that God sees you as you believe that your father or anyone else standing face to face with you sees you, only with this difference, that the Heavenly Father sees everything that is in you, entirely what you are, and all creatures, the angels, the saints, as sinners, the animals sees everything at once in the same way as the sun lights everything at once, besides which the eyes of the Lord are 10,000 times brighter than the sun. A lively sense of God's presence is a source of peace and joy for the soul. Doubt in His presence produces distress, affliction, and oppression. Heartfelt prayer is the source of peace of heart, whilst insincere, superficial, inattentive prayer wounds the heart. Jesus Christ, with the Father and the Holy Ghost, is an unfathomable abyss of love to men. In this abyss of mercy, plenteousness of mercy, for all will be found only turn to God with faith, hope, and hearty contrition for your infirmities and your offenses against the Lord, our Master and Benefactor. God is nearer to us than any man at any every time. He is nearer to me than my raiment, nearer than the air or light, nearer than my wife, husband, father, mother, daughter, son, or friend. I live in Him, soul and body. I breathe in Him, think in Him, feel, consider, intend, speak, undertake, work in Him. For in Him we live and move and have our being. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Therefore, we must always see God before us at our right hand. We must be strong. And in order not to sin, we must so place ourselves that nothing could thrust God from our thoughts and hearts, and nothing could hide Him from us. Undue partiality for food, drink, money, dress, house, and its furniture, nor for any person, that no worldly distractions and pastimes could deprive us of our most sweet, most beloved Lord, but that we may every hour and every minute belong to Him and perpetually be with Him, as He Himself is perpetually with us, as He constantly cares for us and guards us. But when I sin, or when I have any undue partiality for anything, then He is far from me, not in respect to space, for He at all times fills everything, but in respect to my own spiritual withdrawal from Him, to my own indifference towards Him. in respect to his actuality, depriving me of his grace and his presence in my heart, for then his enemy, the devil, dwells in me. As in a sea, lake, or river, every particle of water is united to other particles and is surrounded by them. Or as in the air, every particle of it is surrounded by other particles and is united to them. So all of us earth-born creatures are surrounded by God on all sides, while those of us who are pure are being purified, are united to him and are everywhere with him. All of us earth-born creatures, like water, like air, like a tree with many branches, form one whole, though often broken by the envy of the enemy, by selfishness, irritability, animosity, dispute, pride, heresy, and dissent, envy, avarice, unsociability, and other passions. On the other side, the devil and his angels also form among themselves another whole, like dark, malignant, poisonous water, or fiery, suffocating, deadly air. They surround us and endeavor to break into our soul when we are off our guard or under the domination of various passions, in order to darken, disturb, oppress, inflame, and in every way torment us. For thus, for instance, you may sometimes chance to be walking in the pure, sweet-scented air, when suddenly a foul odor from a cesspool strikes your sense of smell and is in an unpleasant manner, and you wish to pass quickly by this place so as to breathe the wholesome air again. This think of the devil is like unto this. The Lord himself likens the dark, devilish hordes to air and water. He says, the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. This is upon the man, upon the human soul. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. We are in the habit of saying, had I not looked, I should not have been tempted. Had I not heard, my heart would not have ached. Had I not tasted, I should not have desired. You see how many temptations arise from our own sight, hearing, and taste. How many have suffered and still suffer because their hearts were not firm in their good inclinations, because they imprudently looked with impure eyes, because they heard with ears unaccustomed to discern between good and evil, because they greedily tasted. The senses of this in loving, greedy flesh, unrestrained by reason and by God's commandments, have drawn them into various worldly passions, have darkened their mind and hearts, depriving them of peace of heart, and taken away their free will, making them the slaves of these senses. Thus you see how necessary it is to look, listen, taste, smell, and feel prudently, or rather how necessary it is to guard your heart, so that through your outward senses, as through a window, no sin may steal in, and that the author himself of sin, the devil, may not darken and wound that heavenly fledgling our soul with his poisonous and deadly arrows. The soul receives the Lord into it in the life-giving sacrament by the thought of faith and by the heart's acknowledgement that the Lord himself is truly present in the sacrament, whilst our body receives the Lord through the mouth and belly. When the soul receives the Lord with firm faith, then the Lord fills it in a single moment, both the soul as an incomplex being and the whole of the body with all its joints, because the soul fills the entire body, and because of the all-filling property of the Godhead. in the Christian life, temptations and tests or trials of our spiritual condition are necessary, and as our life, like the furniture of the house, becomes covered with various stains, it is necessary to cleanse it. As for testing, objects made, for instance, of the silver instruments are required. So likewise, for testing the state of the soul, men are required like. Who for willingly or unwillingly, intentionally or quite unthinkingly, show us by their conduct and relation to us in the matter apparent both to ourselves and others, whether we are obedient to God's commandments declared to us in the gospel or not, whether we live according to the Spirit, mortifying in ourselves the desire of the flesh, or according to the flesh, being obedient slaves to the will of the flesh and to the carnal thoughts and passions, so that we, recognizing that we are not living in accordance with the will of God, not in according with the commandments of our sweetest Savior, but in accordance with our own sinful and blind will, may speedily amend and zealously follow the commandments of the divine gospel. Our body lives by means of those elements of which it is itself formed, constantly absorbing into itself air, water, and other organic bodies. Our soul lives by means of the divine spirit from which it has its origin and constantly absorbs into itself for supporting its life, the life of God the Trinity, through the light of the intellect, through good inclinations and desires of the heart and will, and constantly in goodness, as the body, when it is not nourished by the elements natural to it, cannot live and dies, so our soul, when not nourished by prayer or good thoughts, feelings, and works, also dies, as in our body, the nature, the nourishment, and growth of the body are satisfactorily accomplished for a time, but if accidentally, through food or drink or breathing, any poison or contagion enters the body, then suffering is at once occasioned, and even death should not help be given in time, so that our spiritual nature, everything goes on satisfactorily for a time. But if it is corrupted by the devil, then it suffers grievously, becoming as if benumbed, and it requires the speedily help of the heavenly physician, the God of spirits, which can only be received through the prayer of faith. The artifices of the devil in the soul of a man corresponds to the action of poison upon the bodily nature, with the difference that the poison of material nature seldom enters into our body, while the artifices of the devil are always with and about us. As for the nourishment and support of the life of our body, the means by which it lives are ever at hand, namely light, air, water, and food, of which air, as the most necessary element of life, constantly surrounds us, and water also is always easily to be found, as well as vegetable and animal food, so also the forces for supporting the life of our soul are always ready and abundant. It's spiritual food, drink, and raiment in God the Trinity, being holy in every place, like air, or like mental light. The Lord is ready at every moment of our life, according to our faith, and on account of the constantly prayerful disposition of our soul, to support our spiritual forces by His all act of grace, to be the uninterrupted light of our mind and heart, the air by which our soul breathes, the food by which it is nourished and strengthened, the life-giving warmth by which it is warmed, and the garment with which it is not only covers its sinful nakedness, but which and with which it also adorns itself as with royal purple, that is, the garment of Christ's justification. Man, every moment of his existence is between two mediums, material and spiritual, from which he receives everything. The one supports his bodily, the other his spiritual nature. The one is visible nature, the other the invisible personal spirit of God, which being holy everywhere, is above all and containing everything, is itself not limited by anything. Every man of himself is so insignificant and helpless that he receives everything necessary to support his existence, not from himself, but from without. He himself is nothing. And as his body is supported by air, food, and drink, so his soul is supported by prayer, by reading God's word, and by the communion of the holy mysteries. On the other hand, as in the kingdom of the most perfect and almighty God, there is also a place for fallen evil spirits, and as their place of above is the very air and earth inhabited by men, and as man from the very beginning was allured by them to evil, as they were always still are, and will be together with the human race until the end of the world, they form, so to say, a medium by which we are surrounded and in which we live. We, who are free and at the same time fallen beings, although we were re-established by the Son of God and have become free through his grace by faith, love to God, and by works, ought by continual prayer to God to guard ourselves from the antagonistic forces fighting against our soul, wishing to make us their prisoners and similar to them in spirit. We must be watchful to the utmost so that not to become like unto the subcelestial spirits of the evil by our spirit and acts, lest they should become the breathing of our soul instead of God, lest the evil constituting their nature should become our evil. We must also ever bear in mind that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and that the word keeps them too in his full power, and the only permits them as much as his goodness, mercy, and omnipotence allow to act in the world to teach and correct men. But there are men who have the devil for their garment, food, and drink, in the same manner as true Christians clothe themselves with Christ and feed upon his body and blood. Throughout the world, everything is double, one against the other, the spirit and the flesh, good and evil. Satan has his agents and helpers to spread his dominion amongst men. God has the angels, whom he gives to every Christian to guard him and guide him into Christ's blessed kingdom. Glory be to God.